Do turn back in your Bibles, please, to Matthew's Gospel. We will need that open as we study it together. As we do in these evenings, we're just simply reflecting on the teaching that is before us. Although I say simply, it's some of the more challenging of the teaching, I think, that we read. For we have pictured here the life of the believer. Jesus saw the crowds in chapter 5 and verse 1. He goes up on the mountain to a place where he can address them. They can all hear him. This is not some private message for the disciples to be interpreted onto us. This is to all those who would follow Jesus. Simply put, this is what you must be if you are one of my people. And he teaches them the Beatitudes, and we looked at that last time. And then he says, now that's the person, now let's put it into practice. In verse 13, you must be salt, you must be light, you must love the law. Four things, I think, that we see this evening from this lovely text. Firstly, that believers must be salt and light. Salt draws out the true flavor, and light brings clarity and definition to life. These are very simple analogies. We don't need to pursue any great depth in them. Turn on a light in a room and you see clearly. Add salt and flavor is sharpened, or if it's pre-cooking, preservation of that which you have is found. The believer, so that one that has just been described in the Beatitudes as blessed by God for being poor in spirit, mourning over their sin, humble before God, hungering and thirsting for his righteousness, merciful to others, pure in heart and a peacemaker, that one will go on to preserve society, to make life in this sin-sick world more palatable, to show others the way to go, to know with certainty that they are going the right way. This is the role of the believer, to be salt and light. So sad, is it not, that we so often feel as Christians we are not welcome. In much of society, our views are rubbished. But if a down and out meets the team from Beacon House, or someone lost and lonely on a night out meets a town pastor, they will be welcomed. And the help that is offered will improve life and bring clarity. The world we live in can be a fickle place. So how are we to be salt and light? We can't all be town pastors. We can't all be servants at Beacon House. Well, we're not to return to some time capsule from a previous age. This is not preservation of a particular way. But the implication of these words is that we should be noticeably different from the world around us, in both little and large ways. Light on a hill, the Lord Jesus speaks of. Salt would have been used in the kitchen at home. So the little things of life and the large things. The way we drive, for instance, I wonder if we ever consider that. The way we are on the street as we pass one another. Are you a head down, headphones on? Or can you greet one another and say good morning? How we spend Sunday? Are we geared up to spend it with God's people? That sometimes means how do we spend Saturday has an impact on how we spend Sunday. Is the washing line bare and the mower quiet? Or do the toil and chores of the week still ring true as every other day? So that we look no different. We've just been reminded about the government in our prayers and the opportunity to address an inquiry of the people of this country about divorce and how easy it can be had. You have until tomorrow to reply to that. We should be those who write to our MP about these larger things in life that matter and make a difference. We should be gentle in our speech. There's no place in the Christian church for rude and selfish speaking. We should be quick to apologize. The world implies that that is weakness. But to know other people, to know when they've been hurt, to desire unity and peace between us, these are the things that should set us apart from the world. To be salt and to be light in little things and large things is to put into practice the Beatitudes that we have seen. It is a tough challenge, but it is that first thing that is before us this evening. Secondly, let us note how important we are to the work of the Lord Jesus. The importance of being different. The importance of being different is first seen negatively in the salt. If salt should lose its taste, it can't be made salty again. Throw it out. Well, it's not the Lord's way to throw us out and have us trampled underfoot. I'm grateful for that. But if we remain too similar to the world, we will not be useful to him. We will not be used by him. One reason I think the church in the West has lost its gospel effectiveness is that we are too like the world around us, and no one sees a difference. It is an important ministry that we hold. The command to be different is not so that we stand out. It is so that others will see and will glorify God. Too often I think we fear standing out because we think it's about us. It isn't. It's about God. The importance of the work is God's glory is seen. The Lord Jesus has come, and in his coming, John writes that the light has come into the world. The Lord Jesus, in later ministry, will claim for himself, "I am the light of the world." Before either of those things were said or written, he here says to these early disciples, "You are the light of the world." What wonder is this, my friends? What challenge is this? This is no more and no less than we are those who do his works after him. We are his hands and his feet. We are his mouth to speak. What wonder is this that he would choose you and I to proclaim his glory? And yet that is what he has done. The Lord Jesus, looking out at the disciples and the wider crowd, said, "You are the light of the world." We should be in awe of that challenge. We should be amazed by it. We should be encouraged by it. But it does come with a responsibility. One commentator has said, "A secret disciple is no more use in the world than one who has lost his distinctiveness. We are as useless as that saltless salt if we hide our light." Now, I think that has to be contextualized. It was written for a Western audience, not for a country under persecution. But let us not be secret with our faith for fear of man. Let's not be a secret believer for fear of gazumping God. Too many people say, "I can't tell what God is doing because people think it's me bigging myself up." Well, no, if you're careful to say, "God has done this in my life," and if we as a response are careful to say, "Praise the Lord," then it's very clear that God has done something in your life, and opportunities like next Sunday evening should be taken to share the glory of God with the wider world. But not to tell of what God has done and what God is doing is to put your light under a bowl, is to lose your saltiness. My friends, we must remember how important this is. The light in your life and the light in mine is not mine to hide. It is Christ who is the light of the world. And he has chosen to be seen in us. He has chosen to speak through our mouths, to act through our hands and feet. It is a vital thing, this challenge to be salt and light. Well, let us thirdly notice how vital it is that we maintain the link between creation and revelation. We read the Lord Jesus fulfills the law, a law which was there at the beginning. John records, in the beginning was the Word, and we know, even though it's not spoken in detail, Cain and Abel were informed of what offering was righteous and what wasn't. Right back then, at the beginning, they knew what God wanted. From the very beginning, mankind has had revealed to him the Word of God. He knew what he needed to know about God, how to live and how to serve. It's been made known to us, either written down or learnt by rote. It matters not. God has spoken. We read here, the law will continue until heaven and earth pass away. And we conclude that life is impossible without the Word of God. Unless Christ sustained this world, it would all fly apart. No one can know blessing without the Word of God. The sufficiency of this Bible to show us the way to live is what is proclaimed here. The necessity of us having this Bible and reading it and studying it, if we are to enjoy life and to live life the way it was intended, is proclaimed here. The passion with which that missionary took the gospel to the Andaman Islands and lost his life for it is what is the result of these truths at work in the life of one or another. I don't want to call his method, but the passion that he had to take this gospel to these people is necessary for them to live life the way God intended, to know this, is seen there in this day and age. Nothing survives without the law, and the law, we're told here, is looking for fulfillment. Until all things are accomplished means the law is looking for something. It's waiting for a moment, and the Lord Jesus is that moment. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the accomplishment in his life, in his teaching, in his death and resurrection. He is the Word of God. He is the picture of all we need to know to be made right with God. We cannot separate the Word of God from life. We can't accept, as some will have us believe, that there are other ways that will lead to a successful, blessed life. There are other ways to heaven. There are many gods and many routes. That's not possible to us. This earth is God's creation. The revelation of his Word is essential. We need to know and love Jesus. For him to be our nearest, the one we long to know better and better, more and more. If we would enjoy life, live life to the full, know God's blessing, we must know Christ. Do you know Christ this evening? Have you accepted him personally as your Lord and Savior? This is a vital point, our third one. Fourthly, and finally, we see here that we need to have a proper attitude towards the Word of God. Not just in that moment as we accept him to be our Lord and Savior, but we understand that we cannot set aside this command or that from the Scriptures. We have to read the parts as part of the whole. We have to read more and more of Scripture as our lives go on. We will never have got there and be able to say, I know it all. We do not. And especially on those things that are known today as secondary issues, we need to be willing to potentially say, I may have to change my mind on that. I'm not talking about that which we've just mentioned, that Christ is the center and the only way. There's no question on that. That's undebatable. We either believe or we don't. But on so much else, we need to be mindful of having the right attitude to the law, not that of the Pharisees. not legalism, where we find a way to keep the letter of the law while breaking the spirit of it. Whilst we find a way to look like we're keeping the law, but quite frankly, all we're doing is that, looking like we're keeping the law. They looked like they kept the word of God, but they did not, and Jesus would call them whitewashed tombs, because they looked good on the outside, freshly painted and decorated, but they were full of bones and rot and decay inside. The challenge here is to have that deeper commitment to doing what we read in the Word, a heartfelt, life-changing attitude of respect and obedience towards the Word of God. We need, as Baxter once said, in the essentials, we must have unity. There is just one way. We must accept the truth. In the non-essentials, we must have liberty. We must be free to discuss them and honestly say, I see it differently. Help me understand. Let us pray together and ask God for greater guidance. And he says, in all things, as we discuss this word of God and apply it to our lives, we must have charity, where we are gracious to one another and work with one another to understand things better. We must be a people of the book like that, reading daily, sharing together, growing in our knowledge, helping one another to better understand the text, not like these Pharisees, whose righteousness is hollow, shallow, and outward only. So let us assess the quality of our lives, our parenting, our Sunday schools, our work, our home groups, our Sundays, all that we do as a church. Let us assess ourselves by Scripture and how much we know and how much we learn and how much we apply in our lives. That's the attitude of the believer. And when we have that attitude, when the light of Christ is in our lives like that, we will shine like a city on a hill. We will bring out the flavor like that fresh salt added to the meal. We will preserve the world around us as salt preserved the uncooked food of the day. But above all else, people will be saved, for they will see the glory of God in our lives. We'll want to know more. This is the challenge, my friends, of being salt and light in the world. This is the challenge of knowing how important we are in the work of the Lord Jesus. This is the challenge of remembering that the Word is vital to life. This is the challenge of having a proper attitude to Scripture.